Today on the Chris DeFenix Show, Joe Rogan, Kid Rock, OJ Simpson, and the meaning of life. Before we dive in, like, subscribe, share this with everybody you know, and if you're not supporting us yet, go to the show notes. You're going to see a way you can subscribe to our courses that doesn't only bless you with a lot of good stuff, it keeps all this stuff going. I was scrolling recently and came across a conversation Kid Rock had with Joe Rogan that blew my mind, where Kid Rock preaches to Joe Rogan about Jesus. For obvious reasons, that caught my eye. Now, I'm gonna dive into some of this conversation because there's certain things that Kid Rock did that were so inspiring and almost convicting to me as a Christian, and I wanted to convict you too if you're a devout Christian. There's stuff that you could see in Joe Rogan's spiritual grappling that if you're grappling, I wanna call you out and maybe enlighten you as to what's behind his grappling with what looks like just an intellectual thing, but I think there's way more going on. And there's also some ways that Kid Rock, I got your back, man. I'm going to help you make a couple of your arguments better. But before we dive into the details, I want to give the sad ending away. Here's how it ends.
I'm good.
Okay, so it ends with Joe Rogan saying, I'm good. And you know what, guys? A lot of times, conversations about faith do end that way. When you're trying to convince someone to believe in Jesus, they're going to say, I'm good. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't still try to convince people. Now, let's go to the start of their conversation, how the whole faith thing came up.
If you could go to one place, where would you go? If you had one shot, you can go back in time once and survive and come back to the future, where would you go?
Jesus.
Jesus. But what if there was nobody there?
Even better, I get all to myself, just me and Jesus?
No, I mean, what if Jesus wasn't there? What if you go back and you're like, I just want to go see Jesus? And you're like, oh,
he'd be
what
there.
Time?
He's there.
You think there's a real Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely?
Absolutely. 1,000%.
What makes you convinced?
My faith.
I mean, that's a good answer.
Okay, my faith is why I believe there was a Jesus. Now, I want to give some credence to this. Kid Rock responds unapologetically, just saying, well, I believe because I believe. And there is an element of that with faith. Some people think you could just reason your way into faith or present an airtight case and therefore reason someone else irresistibly into faith, because I get it. Here's why that doesn't work. Faith is not about a topic you get an A on. It's a relationship you enter into. So reason, for instance, with entering into my marriage, led me to the threshold of the big question that I was going to ask. And it made sense. And this person met all the checks on my list. And I met 10% of the checks on her list. And I was punching way above my weight. And she might actually marry me and say yes. All the reasons led me to the threshold. But the will had to kick in with a relationship and push my intellect beyond where it could go by itself. That's faith. You get up to the threshold with the reasons. The will has to kick in. That doesn't mean it's a blind leap, though, and here's where I disagree with Kid Rock's response. Just faith. Well, there needs to be good reasons behind the choice of the person you marry and the choice of the God you believe in. And there's good reasons and good ways to respond to Joe Rogan's question, did Jesus even exist? Now, this question is a philosophy that Joe espouses. He probably doesn't know what's called this, but it's called mythicism. I'm not saying mysticism with a lisp. Mythicism. This idea, this claim that there was no historical Jesus, but that Jesus is no more than a myth. The first place I encountered this idea, and the only place I personally encountered someone actually claiming this, was in the Czech Republic. The reason I encountered it there is likely because the Czech Republic had been part of the Soviet bloc, the Eastern Soviet bloc countries, and they did a really good job at indoctrinating people to believe that Jesus was merely a myth. Now, this was striking. I went to the Czech Republic from Krakow. I was on a pilgrimage where John Paul II was, and then went to the infinite Prague in the Czech Republic. Beautiful city. But let me tell you what was not beautiful. Everyone's smiling in Poland. Their faith animates their faces. You go into Prague, no one's smiling. I'm like, dude, what culturally just shifted? And I Google it and find out, wow, the Czech Republic is the most atheistic country in the world. But this woman who was leading this tour, she pointed out a picture of Zeus, and then she saw a statue of Jesus, and she said, yeah, for people who live here who are atheists, we see these things in the same way. And I thought, that might be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard as far as arguments against the faith. Who doesn't believe Jesus even existed? I could say believing there's no Zeus, But clearly Jesus existed. The reason I think this idea became popular in a country that had been communist is because communist countries had a habit of telling people what they were and were not allowed to believe, and what they were and were not allowed to question, because it takes almost no questioning of the claim that Jesus didn't historically exist to overturn it. And crazy things are believed in communist countries all the time. I'll give you an example. In North Korea today, no one is disabled. This is taught by the government and believed by all the people, or else. North Korea can cure AIDS and cancer. Just reading this in a hilarious article. The leaders do not use the toilet. North Korean researchers found unicorns. Kim Jong-un could drive by the age of 3, and magpies mourned the death of Kim Jong-il. And you know what, guys? The idea that Jesus didn't exist historically is as bad and unfounded as all the things that I just read to you, but again, became popular in a country that had been communist. And it got popular under Bruno Bauer, Marx's teacher. He made this wild claim that Jesus didn't exist. Marx picked up this idea, likely because of confirmation bias. You see, communists had this idea that the church might stand in the way of the revolution that they were waiting to happen. So anything that could undermine religion, they would just, well, fine, we believe that, and we're going to teach it, and we're going to force everyone to agree with it. Arthur Drew wrote a book in 1909 called The Christ Myth, and the USSR picked it up and mandated that the Christ myth, which taught that there was no historic Jesus, be taught in every public school and, thank you, communism, banned any argument against it. By the way, when your government tells you what you're not allowed to disagree with, yeah, I'll leave that one there. But guys, arguments against the historic existence of Jesus are as untenable as arguments that there was no such thing as King Tut, no such thing as George Washington, no such thing as Julius Caesar. Why? Number one, because there's evidence not just from scripture, and not just from the historical existence of a church. I mean, where did all these believers just pop out of? Nowhere? Someone just making up a story? Because they were claiming there's a historic person, right? There's more than just the Bible and more than just the history. There's also non-believers from the very first days of Christianity that wrote about the historical person of Jesus Christ. Flavius Josephus. You should name one of your kids Flavius Josephus. He was a Jewish historian who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Didn't believe he was who he said he was, and wrote about the existence of Jesus. The Roman historian Tacitus also wrote about the existence of Jesus. So there's this witness of the existence of a church, the witness of other writings outside of scripture, but also there's the argument from silence. Think about this for a second, guys. The Christians found themselves in a world that was profoundly threatened by them, and frankly, probably should have been threatened by them. I mean, the Romans wanted to kill the Christians because they rightly perceived that their society, which was founded on the worship of pagan gods and all sorts of practices and orgies and all sorts of stuff that went along with that, could all be overturned by these people who worship this new guy and all the ways that they live and their moral codes. Yeah, so they wanted them out. They couldn't stand them. A lot of the Jewish believers at the time of the first Christians couldn't stand the Christians because they were claiming something that overturned everything that they were keeping intact in the society at the time. Don't you think that a single one of them would have claimed, hey, there was no Jesus? I mean, let me just cut to the chase and do away with the claims of these early Christians. There was no Jesus. Guys, not a single person, for all the hatred of Christianity in the first centuries of the Christian faith, not a single person claimed that. Why? Because everyone knew that he existed. Bart Ehrman, an agnostic who teaches at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, he said, quote, "The view that Jesus existed is held by virtually every expert on the planet." And this guy's not a believer. John Dominic Crossan, another scholar who's not a believer, he said, quote, "That Jesus was crucified is as sure as anything historical can ever be." There's no serious historian that would even be asking seriously the question that Joe Rogan just asked. Well, how do you know there was even a Jesus? Now let's dive into the next question Joe Rogan asked, which is really common and another really weak argument for people who want to dismiss the claims of Christianity.
I always wonder when people are telling stories, though. Like, how long did that story take before people wrote it down? How many times did people alter it? Just like they do with everything today. I gotta imagine that at a certain point in time in history, they probably didn't tell the truth about a lot of things. And we take those things, tell them through oral traditions, have them written down.
Well, there's a difference between lies and between the truth getting, you know, manipulated and twisted a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The underlying usually is still there.
Kid Rock, you did a pretty good job with this one, man. Right? There could be little things that are changed or even twisted, but the underlying truth is still there. This idea, however, I'm going to build on the idea that things were so twisted that we can't even arrive at the truth, and therefore we shouldn't look into the claims of Christianity, is completely untenable. It's just not true. Now, I'll give Joe Rogan this. There's various translations of the Bible to different languages. And in the English language, you have lots of different translations. Some of them are more literal, and they're a little harder to read because they follow the Greek text and just lift word by word. Some of them are more true to the meaning. However, the essential meaning, as you read both side by side, which you can do, doesn't really change. Let's rewind it back even further. Go back to the original texts. Guys, there is, I would argue, no other historical work where you're going to find more early manuscripts than you will of the Bible. There's tons of them because people thought this was the sacred book. This is the word of Almighty God. So they made copies before copy machines. They did this by hand. And they took this really seriously. Going back to the Old Testament, there were scribes who their whole life was about faithfully making copies of the word of God. Guys, if they're treating this like the word of God and they're taking their profession of scribe seriously, they're not going to mess up so badly that you're going to find one manuscript that says Jesus is divine, another one that says he was a dude who just hung out at bars and had drinks. No, we can just throw the whole thing away. They're so different. You don't find that. In fact, the differences you find are usually footnoted in your English translation of the Bible. And as bad as it gets is things like this translation says Jesus Christ, this translation says Christ Jesus, but no meaning has changed whatsoever. They even found the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were hundreds of years older than other manuscripts of the Old Testament existing at the time. And there were various books of the Old Testament in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They compared this with things scribed hundreds of years after the Dead Sea Scrolls were written. There was zero difference between the two documents. Absolutely mind-blowing. Now, here's where Joe Rogan's gift comes out for getting to the heart of things. And I want to share the question he dug into right here with Kid Rock.
So you think the real truth was that he actually was the Son of God?
Yes.
You think the truth is that he's the Son of God. He cuts to the heart here, guys, because that claim is the everything for Christians. If Jesus is the Son of God, then the Christian faith is legit. If it's not, well, then let's just move on to the next thing. And you know what? If he's the Son of God, that doesn't just change everything about the Christian faith. It changes everything about everything. Peter Kreef wrote a beautiful book called Jesus Shock, and how we should be shocked about this claim of Christians that Jesus is divine, that this person who had hands and a nose and eyes and a mouth and could speak was God in the flesh. Whoa. And he drew the analogy between this encounter of mankind with Jesus to the encounter of the hobbits with Gandalf. You're thinking, Chris, you're a total nerd. Let me show you how nerdy I am. That tattoo under my arm is in the Elvish language. So if you're a Lord of the Rings nerd, I just out-nerded you. I'll tell you about this some other time. So anyway, he said some people think that their encounter with Gandalf after he died and came back as now Gandalf the White, they think, wow, that's kind of like how the apostles encountered Jesus after he rose from the dead. He said, no, it goes way further than that. The encounter of the apostles with Jesus would be like Frodo encountering J.R.R. Tolkien. like a character in the story encountering the author of the book itself. That's next level mind-blowing. That's next level total shock. Now, Kid Rock says, yeah, I unapologetically believe that. And it does, in fact, change everything. I love Joe's response to this.
It'd be amazing if it was true. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
It is amazing.
I believe you. I believe that you believe that.
It'd be amazing if that were true. Guys, yes, it would be. And yes, it is amazing if that's true. I think Joe rightly perceives here that if that's true, that's amazing. Not just because it says Christianity is therefore true and I should therefore go to church on Sunday. Why would that be amazing? I mean, I love church. I think it's great. But most people would see that and think, well, I don't know, that's not that amazing. This would be amazing if it were true, and is amazing because it is true, because it changes everything about life. If God loved us so much that he became one of us, what's that mean? Guys, that means that I'm loved by the maker of space and time. That I'm not a soulless lump of space sludge floating through the universe destined for nothing. That's what it means. It means that my life has inherent purpose. The purpose is good because God is love. God loved me so much that he became one of us. He died for me. So even the pains of my life are a point of union with God and have meaning and purpose. I'm destined for eternal glory for heaven. Dang, that'd be amazing if that were true. Yes, it would be. Kid Rock's answer is awesome.
Would you like to be introduced to Jesus?
Listen, I think the concept of Jesus is absolutely amazing. And if Jesus came here and wanted to visit me, I would be psyched.
Would you like to know Jesus?
In what way?
I can put my pastor on your show.
Would you like to know Jesus? Guys, you could tell by Kid Rock and his persona and some of the things I had to bleep out. Yeah, if you followed him ever, you know this dude. He's kind of a rough guy. Kind of an unpolished guy. Probably has not always lived a Christian life. Looks like he's striving to live one now. But he went there. He went to a place that theologians are afraid to go with people. Pastors are afraid to go with people. He actually went there and said, yeah, this is not just an intellectual conversation. Would you like to meet Jesus? So convinced that Jesus makes a difference in your life, that he talked about Jesus in that moment the way that John did in 1 John, where John said, we proclaim to you what we've seen with our eyes, what we've touched with our hands concerning the word of life. I know this guy. Would you like to meet him? Do you ever bring conversations to that level? Because if you don't, I want to push on you here, man. Maybe you lack faith that he's alive and makes that kind of difference in people's lives. Maybe you haven't asked him to make that kind of difference in your life. Maybe you're not sure that what you have in Jesus is better than what that person who lacks faith has. Can I tell you, it is better. Every sociological study points to this fact. The more the world wanders from faith and faith decreases, the more despair, suicidal ideation, anxiety, depression, all these things increase. The world needs what you have in Jesus Christ. This is not just proposing an idea to people that they should behave a different way. He didn't just come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. When he does this to you, you share that faith the way Kid Rock did. Would you like to meet him? Would you like to pray with me right now to invite Jesus to be Savior and Lord? Would you like to come to church with me? If you're a Catholic, would you like to see with your eyes and touch with your hands the word of life and the sacraments? Boom, that is amazing. God, give us the courage of Kid Rock. I never thought I'd pray that prayer. And again, to end where we started, here's the tragic response.
I'm good.
I'm good. I'm good. Guys, here's the tragedy of that response. He just, seconds earlier, admitted, if what you're saying is true, that would be amazing. Well, hey, would you like to see? Would you like to see if it's actually, in fact, true? No, I don't even want to see. I don't even want to give it a chance. Why? Because, guys, this is not just about convincing people intellectually. This is in the will. The intellectual reasons can lead you to the threshold of faith. You got to make a choice to move and give your life to the Lord or not to move. I'm good. It'd be amazing, but I don't want to see. It'd be like me saying to you right now, hey, dude, there's a button under your chair. If you just look under your chair and push the button, you'll get $1 billion. Your whole life will change. Everything will be better in your life. It'd be amazing. Trust me. I'm good. Dude, just look under your chair. Look at it. Just look. There's a button there. I'm good. Joe Rogan looks like a tough guy, dude. I think he's a coward in that moment. I'm good. I'll tell you why I think he's a coward in that moment. Now, he could, maybe I get this wrong. Maybe he's been hurt by Christians or bad pastors. That kind of thing does happen. Or by Christians who presented the faith in a way that's really not life-giving. That kind of thing does happen. I think more frequently than we give credit to, some people are afraid to find out that we might be right because they like their sin more. John 3:16, beautiful scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. The verses most people don't really quote or know, just a few verses after that, it comes down to what happens, you know, when people hear that and when they're presented with that beautiful possibility that there's a God who's love that makes your life amazing, but they just choose their sin instead. This is the verdict. This is John 3:19. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I think a lot of people say, I'm good, because they are terrified that if they find out you're right, as good as what you're proclaiming is and all the hope that it offers everything, well, it might also mean that I have to give up my favorite sin. Yeah, and I'd rather not even find out. And guys, I think that's scary. I mean, a lot of people could say, look, can't someone just go on and be just a generally good guy? I'm sure Joe Rogan's a good guy, and not have faith, and I would say no. Because, yeah, he might be a good guy, and you might be a good guy if you have good attributes and a million areas of your life, but insofar as you lack faith and aren't even interested in entertaining the possibility of the claims of faith, that there's actual meaning to life, that your life came from some source outside of yourself that you should seek and return thanks to and try to conform your life to and try to get to know the source of everything. Insofar as you're failing at that pursuit, you're a profound moral failure. Thomas Aquinas talked about how the virtue of religiosity, that is the virtue of being a religious, faith-filled person who puts it into practice in tangible ways of religion, comes under the virtue of justice. Justice is returning to someone what's due to them. Religion returns to God what's due to him. There's a natural sense of justice that has driven people throughout all of history to be religious. That's why you go to the most distant jungles of Brazil and you look at artifacts in ancient Rome. Two different cultures never talk to each other, never touch each other. You see evidence of religious faith because it's natural law justice. When people, for the first time in history, overwhelming numbers of people say, I'm good. I don't even want to care about the big questions about life and if I should conform my life to some creator or if I should look to where all this came from so I could offer sacrifice back in thanksgiving. It's profound, profound moral failure. More importantly, missing out on something amazing. And even if you're in conversation with someone who's rejecting you, I want to urge you, do what Kid Rock did in that moment. And this leads us to O.J. Simpson. Yes, it all ties in my brain somehow. Listen, I'm not going to go into details of the trial of O.J. Simpson, except to say that literally everybody was watching it. This was the first celebrity trial. This is a time when there was like five different channels on the TV, right? I remember as a young dude, and like everybody who was alive at the time remembers watching that car get chased by the cops. And I remember, and everybody remembers, they're watching this trial for months, being shocked that he was acquitted. Shocked, because everything seemed to point to this is obvious, what happened, what went down. But in light of his death and rewatching footage of that car getting chased down the freeway, it was a good reminder to me that no one gets away with anything. And when it comes to the big questions of life, the questions we put off, the questions we say, I'm good. Guys, eventually every single person will have to stand before Almighty God and look at him and give an account for their lives. Whether it's having to grapple with an answer for why you just didn't care about faith, or whether it's OJ standing right next to Nicole Brown before the throne of God, we're all judged in the end. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. There's a definitive end to life. Death puts an end to human life as the time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. It comes to an end. And everybody, this is also from the Catechism, either entrance into the blessedness of heaven or immediate and everlasting damnation. So let's pray that OJ found the Lord and repented before his death. Let's pray that Joe Rogan finds the same. And let's pray for ourselves, a prayer that I never thought I'd pray, that Lord, give us the courage of Kid Rock in sharing you with the people we encounter today. Amen. Guys, I love you. Thanks so much for watching. Be sure to subscribe and to share it with everybody. And again, support our mission. And thank you to our missionaries of joy who make all this possible. God bless you.